Chapter 13. Valkyrie approached the backstop wormhole, which was a lot more stable than it was the first time we took the ship through. It still gave me a lump in my throat to think that we could not screw with either backstop or broomstick, could not shut either of them down temporarily, or adjust their connections, or even make them go dormant permanently. Hostile aliens could reach Earth either by going through backstop, which was practically in Earth's backyard, or commit to a journey of 16 light-years by using broomstick. To a Max Ulk ship, 16 light-years was a short trip, and there were plenty of uninhabited star systems near Earth they could use as a refueling base. Despite the merry band of pirates having been all the way across and even outside our home galaxy, we had not explored the star systems near Earth. There were over 30 star systems within a dozen light-years of Earth. Expand that imaginary sphere to 250 light-years, and there were 250,000 star systems. UNEF would be worried about aliens sneaking through broomstick and establishing a forward staging base close to Earth, and I expected proposals for Valkyrie and the Flying Dutchman to scout the neighborhood. In my opinion, that would be a waste of time. Not just a waste of our time to investigate dozens or possibly hundreds of star systems, it would be a waste of time for aliens to build a base on this end of broomstick. With Earth only 16 light-years away, aliens could easily stage an attack force on the other end. Or hell, they could skip the flight and just go through backstop. We had no way to prevent ships from coming through backstop. We couldn't even monitor all the traffic. If there was any, we had no way to know. The local network AI was still given only minimum cooperation to Skippy, and he warned me it would be a very bad idea to push the network to do anything outside its normal mode of operations. 7 minutes to wormhole emergence, Reed noted from the pilot couch, repeating the information on the main display. Skippy, I called. Is there any reason to think the wormhole is not operating normally? No, he assured me. Then he did the opposite. Nor is there any reason to think it is working properly. I simply do not know. The stupid network isn't talking to me. Okay, right, but it should respond when it scans the area, just before the event horizon emerges here? Yes, we should know one way or the other in less than 6 minutes. I guess it could be longer if the stupid thing is not working properly and fails to emerge here at all. Great. Fantastic. Hey, don't blame me, he huffed. Sorry, everyone, I looked around the bridge. I'm just being paranoid. The wormhole should open for us. It worked fine the last time. Truthfully, I was a lot more worried about what was waiting for us on the other side of the wormhole than I was about going through. Even if backstop was somehow broken, we could backtrack and go through broomstick. It was nice that we had two wormholes to choose from. It was not nice that aliens had the same option. No matter which wormhole we used, Valkyrie would need to refuel at Jupiter, or Saturn, or Neptune. We were not getting gas from Uranus. My worry about going back to Earth was based on data collected by Skippy during our brief stay there before we jumped away to rescue the Mavericks. The big problem? Our secret was out. The cover story was blown. Right up to the moment when the Flying Dutchman jumped away on what was supposed to be a short mission to find a beta site but turned into Armageddon, the governments of Earth had stuck to the story that the Dutchman was controlled by our allies, the Theranin, and humans were merely passengers. Yes, the cover story had been unraveling steadily with various theories splashed across the internet, most of them containing at least some elements of the truth. When the Dutchman failed to return and become alarmingly overdue, panic had set in. Again. The five nations of UNEF, under intense pressure, agreed to coordinate announcements of the full, truthful story. Of course, the information leaked before the official announcements, and the whole situation became chaotic. Did revelation of the truth satisfy the conspiracy theorists? No, not at all. Even when the announcements, supported by voluminous backup documentation, confirmed many elements of the most popular theories, they were dismissed. The so-called truth must be yet another cover-up. Theories spun out in all directions, and the worldwide panic came close to causing an economic collapse like what happened after Columbus Day. Everyone on Earth was waiting in terror for flashes of light in the sky that would signal alien warships arriving to burn our homeworld to radioactive ash. When Valkyrie jumped away, following our confrontation with the Max Ulks, I knew I had dumped a load of shit into Chang's lap. He would have to explain to UNEF why a new wormhole was just outside the solar system, why the Dutchman had been rebuilt yet again, why the Merry Band of Pirates had a second and more powerful starship, and why there was no reason to worry about a freaking Maxalt's battle group appearing in Earth orbit. Also, he would have to explain that our solar system was now guarded by Elder weapons. And, of course, he would have to make excuses for why Valkyrie and a reckless, unreliable asshole named Joe Bishop were not there. Damn, if I were Chang, I would hate me. The backstop wormhole appeared precisely on time. Skippy had explained that a newly opened wormhole had little variation from the nominal schedule, because the wormhole did not have to be concerned about distorting local space-time and blah blah blah, I wasn't listening. What I cared about was on the other side of the wormhole, and I balled up my fist to control my frustration while we waited for the event horizon to become stable. As soon as it was safe to go through, Reed fired the engines, and Valkyrie was suddenly on the edge of the solar system. The solar system, like ours. We jumped for Earth as soon as possible, emerging above the ecliptic about 20 light minutes from our home world. "Any surprises, Skippy?" I asked, as Sims caught my eye to make me stop tapping my foot nervously on the deck. "Ah, just the usual surprise at how amazingly and consistently stupid monkeys are. No, nothing is that important. The Dutchman is in orbit, along with the Kishan and the Dagger. No other ships detected, either by me or by Bilby. Of course, that was 20 minutes ago, so got it. Reed, take us home." We did not jump directly into orbit, both to avoid panicking anyone on the ground, and because Valkyrie was carrying so much velocity, we would have zipped right past the planet. We jumped in just inside the moon's orbit and fired the engines hard to slow down and bring us into an orbit near the Flying Dutchman. It was frustrating to the passengers that they could see their homeworld on the displays, seeing it looking close enough to touch, but it would be hours before they could board dropships and fly down to their destinations. Immediately, we were besieged by a flood of incoming messages, most of which could have been avoided if the people on the ground waited a second to receive the pre-recorded messages that we transmitted as soon as we jumped in. Skippy sent a full data package detailing our activities since we were briefly at Earth the last time, including a list confirming who was aboard Valkyrie. While waiting to prioritize who I should talk to first, I remembered this was Bilby's first time at our home planet. "Hey, Bilby," I called. "What do you think of Earth so far?"
Sorry, Colonel Dude. Your people down there are seriously dorked up. I thought Skippy was exaggerating. A lot of them just need to chill, you know? Stop drinking the haterade."
"Yeah. Bilby, if it makes you feel any better, I don't think humans are any different from most intelligent species. You saw what the Kristang are like on Rikers, and the Ruhar on Paradise, right?"
Yeah. Okay. Your people are not bad compared to the lizards, but the hamsters are way more chill."
"We'll work on that, right after half of the galaxy stops trying to kill us."
"True that, dude."
I had to speak first with the duty officer at UNEF Command. Then there was a long list of American authorities from various organizations who all wanted to be first in line to talk with me. Stabbing a finger on the button to end the transmission on our end, I stood up. "Reed, do you need anything from me?"
"No, sir."
She shot me a puzzled look.
"The maneuvers to bring us into orbit near the Dutchman are programmed into the autopilot. We're good."
"Excellent. Fireball, you have the con. Rivera, Chen, remain at your stations until relieved. Everyone else is released from duty for the moment. I suggest you contact your families first. Sims, that means you also. Reed, I'll be right around the corner in my office." The crew stared at me, like they were unsure what to do. "Zonk!" I shouted with a clap of my hands, and they all scattered, relieved that I wasn't joking. In my office, I wanted to call my parents first. Instead, I asked Skippy to contact Chang. My parents were probably listening to the message I recorded for them.
"Ah," Chang responded with a yawn.
"Hi, Joe. Everything okay up there?"
"Yeah, for once we're in fine shape."
"Oh shit, did I wake you?"
"It's the middle of the night here in Chengdu.
Sorry."
He snorted through a yawn.
"I'm in the army. I can't get upset when someone wakes me up in the middle of the night.
I'm sorry anyway. We just arrived. What can you tell me?
He knew what I meant.
That was a good move, jumping away and leaving me here to deal with everyone screaming at me for answers.
I'm sorry about that, too.
Was it worth it? Did you get there in time to rescue the Mavericks?
Yes, we got there almost too late.
Another snort of laughter.
That's your signature move now, arriving at the last second?
Good. Tell me, how is Perkins?
I felt like choking her, but we're good. I kept telling myself that it wasn't her fault. She will be here soon with a ship full of people from Paradise. The Beatles loaned us a couple transport ships and a star carrier. UNEF Paradise was conducting a lottery for seats on the first ride home.
Will any keepers be on it? He asked sourly.
That is a solid no, I stated. We pulled that group off the rock they were on, but they will be last in line to come home.
Kong,
I took a breath before asking the important question.
What kind of reception is waiting for us here?
Like I said, it was a good move for you not to be here. Everyone should have calmed down by now. Most of my leadership still can't believe it.
Hell, I can hardly believe it.
That's great news. Sorry if it was hard for you.
Don't worry about it.
The first 2 days of debrief were people sitting across the table from me asking WTF over and over, he laughed. You know the cover story was blown even before we came back.
Yeah.
It was really tense here for a while.
There was a pounding sound in the background.
Joe, that's my wake-up call. I have to go.
Really, everything's good here.
You should call your family. I'll talk to you when I can.
He ended the call abruptly.
Skippy, is Kong all right?
Yes, the duty officer automatically sent someone to wake him up when they saw that Valkyrie arrived. It's just routine. I expect you'll be receiving an official call from Colonel Chang shortly.
Great. I'm going to call my folks while I can.
Your parents are at home. They are waiting for your call.
They were waiting for me to call and picked up the phone immediately. There were a lot of tears on both ends of that call. My recorded message had given them the basics, but it had been one way. Mostly, I wanted to hear what was going on with them. Some of it was good, like my sister was married now. That was about the only good news for my family. Breakdown of the cover story meant that I was famous worldwide, and the majority of the public admired the merry band of pirates. But there were billions of filthy monkeys on Earth, and a surprising percentage of them hated me. At least they hated me before they learned that Earth was protected by an umbrella of invincible elder weapons. Those people hated me, blamed me for the horrific fear they had experienced while they waited for murderous aliens to burn the Earth to a crisp. Now many people didn't still trust me, thought the world's governments were lying about our home world being safe. They were right about that, but the situation was way better than it was, and it certainly was not any of my family's fault. My mother and father had been forced to quit their jobs. It was almost impossible for them to go out in public because of all the attention, most of it hostile. My sister and a new husband both worked from home, but they had to leave Boston and move near his parents in Syracuse. My parents, my sister, and a new husband had round-the-clock security from the government, though my parents had noticed some of the federal agents were less than enthusiastic about the assignment. The worst part? There was a semi-organized campaign online to harass my mother and my sister, threatening to do things that I can't even talk about.
Damn it. I would need to do something about that.
When we tearfully ended the call, I was not in the mood to take any shit from desk jockeys who stayed dirtside while the pirates risked and sometimes lost their lives. I am ashamed to say that I lost my cool and was unprofessional on my next call, so much that I ended the call early and went to the gym to beat the shit out of a punching bag. When I calmed down, I called back and apologized. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff told me he understood the stress I was under, and he didn't call me son or patronize me in any way. Hearing his calm professionalism reminded me that he was a real Army officer, and I needed to straighten myself out. So I worked on it.
Hey, what the hell?
Brad Scott shouted as his headset froze.
the image replaced by static, then going blank.
Stupid thing.
He lifted it off his head to see that all the displays in front of him were also blank.
Damn it.
He lifted a phone off the desk to call.
Hello, shithead, a voice issued from the speakers. You can forget about fixing that console. It won't work.
Who the hell are you?
This isn't funny. This is not funny, Bradley, and you are not going to do anything other than pee in your pants. Don't bother trying your phone either, the voice announced with a sigh. That also is not working. In fact, none of the technology in the house is available to you. None of the technology in the world is available to you, or to your asshole friends.
What the f... Who is this?
You hacked me?
Screw you! I'll buy a new phone and it won't work.
Bullshit. No bullshit. Let me explain this to you Barney style. You and your dickless little friends use the internet and social media to harass the families of Joe Bishop and others of the Flying Dutchman crew. The authorities won't do anything about it, but I will. Since you abuse technology to hurt other people, it is real simple. No more technology for you and your dweeby little friends. No computers, no gaming consoles, no phones, no access to the internet, no streaming TV, no online movies, no online anything, no ATM or credit or debit cards. Any piece of technology you attempt to use will stop working.
Oh, bullshit, Brad laughed. Whoever you are, you need to work on your threats to make them believable. No one can do that. It's
I am Skippy the Magnificent, the voice roared. I can do any damn thing I want, monkey boy.
Skip? There is no Skippy.
Brad's voice went up an octave.
It's just a myth. Skippy is a cover story for an NSA campaign to I really do not give a shit what you believe. If you want my advice, you should invest in postage stamps, because that is the only way you can communicate now other than face-to-face. Oh, and if you are thinking of sending threatening letters by snail mail, those letters will mysteriously go missing.
You can't do this.
I already did, so.
I have rights.
You can't.
Goodbye,
the voice said, and the console shorted out with a puff of smoke rising up from the cooling vent.
Holy shit, Brad gasped.
Sprinting, or actually waddling across the room because his legs were stiff from sitting for 2 hours, he yanked open the drawer where he kept a collection of burner phones. One after the other failed to do anything when he tried to turn them on, and he knew they were all fully charged.
Mom, he called, stomping up the stairs. I need to use your phone.
His mother's phone also did not work. The power was on, but he couldn't use it to make a call, or send a text, or go online at all. Even the boring solitaire game his mother played failed to operate. The icon was inert. Yet when his mother took the phone back, it worked just fine for her. And Bradley Scott realized his life had just become a living hell.
Sir? Sims called while I was shaving.
What is it?
You have a request from the White House.
What?
I paused, with the right half of my face still covered with shaving cream. The request came from the Pentagon, but it originated at the White House. The President wants to personally congratulate you on the...
I went with my gut reaction.
No.
Sir?
Sorry, don't acknowledge the message.
She sighed loudly enough for me to hear.
I just talked on the phone with General Rivera. I can't pretend it didn't happen.
Okay. Shit. Well, I am not responding.
The President is the Commander-in-Chief, sir.
He's also a politician.
Are you going to refuse an order? She said that with an unspoken again.
It is an order, I asked, or a request.
What's the difference?
A request is something I can ignore.
That's a thin line, sir.
Bullshit. Article 88 says I can't display contempt toward officials like the President or the Secretary of Defense, right? There should be a flip side to that article, that politicians can't use the military for their own benefit. Listen, Sims, when a politician wants to meet a popular figure, what they really want is a photo op. A firefighter saves a baby from a burning building, the man needs a photo shaking the firefighter's hand.
It's all about politics, so screw that. What if the Pentagon makes it an order? Then I will kindly request you not tell me about any such communication. It's not that easy. No, but it should be. I am a military officer. The regs say I can't get involved in domestic politics, and that is a damn good thing. That should include being used by politicians for their own benefit. I'm not going to be a prop at a State of the Union speech or smile when the president shakes my hand in the Rose Garden or whatever. I paused for her to reply and got only silence, so I added, Sims, I don't know the president. We've been away for a long time. From what I do know, he seems like a decent guy. Don't worry. I'm not going to shake hands with anyone from the other party either. Presidents are not used to people in uniform saying no to them. Yeah, well, they should be. Hey, I'm doing the guy a favor. How do you figure that, sir? Right now, everything is great. We're kings of the world, masters of the galaxy. That makes us popular with most of the public. But once the senior species push back, and we both know they will not be so popular. A photo op with me sounds good now, but that photo will live forever on social media. Sometimes, she took a breath, I really hate this job. You and me both. Once we land, we need to be careful, all of us pirates. Everyone down there will have an opinion about us, good or bad. The ones who don't like us will blame the pirates for every bad thing that's happened since Columbus Day. Even the ones who like us now will try to use us. Put our faces on cereal boxes, sir? Maybe. What if the company that makes fluff wants to give you an endorsement contract? Well, that's different. I would do that free, for the benefit of humanity. Please don't, she snorted. What should I tell General Rivera? I had to be careful not to get Sims into trouble for me, although she also had to avoid becoming a prop for politicians. That was my opinion. I couldn't give her an order about that. Especially after we went dirtside. Tell him you passed on the message. If he calls back, I'll handle it. Do you have a plan for handling him, or are you going to wing it? Shit, sometimes my executive officer knew me too well. I will explain that the president should be cautious about praising me until we see how the kitties and spiders respond. Good luck with that, she muttered. I do get your point. You be careful. I will. She ended the call, and I stared at myself in the mirror for a moment, seeing the dried shaving foam on half my face. That was no good. I needed to rinse it off and start over. Before that, I had to think about the future, just the immediate future. I couldn't control anything else. The most powerful warship in the galaxy was under my command, and I controlled a cache of Elder weapons. What happened to my family while we were gone had me extremely pissed off, and I was tired of the pirates being raked over the coals every time we returned from a mission that saved the world again. Power and anger are a dangerous combination. The only thing worse is power and arrogance. Had I thought about telling the monkey leadership dirtside to go screw themselves that Joe Bishop was in charge now? No. Hell no. Not even a little bit. Why? Because you can't spell dictator without dick. Okay, that was a joke. Really, Earth has a lot of problems, and I only know how to deal with alien threats. The last thing I want is to be responsible for everything. Also, in the USA, the military is subordinate to elected civilian leaders, and I am a big fan of that system. Yes, I wish the elected officials resisted the temptation to send the military to stamp out fires all over the world just because we can. One problem with having a powerful, rapidly deployable military force is that it is too easy to send into action. Okay, enough talk about politics. No, I am not going to abuse my power. My parents raised me to have good values, and the army trained me well. The monkeys down there have a long list of problems, and darn it, they need to solve them by themselves. No, we need to solve our problems. I am only one citizen. I'm going to stay that way. However, I am also not taking any more shit from do-nothing assholes who second-guess every decision we made while they sit in comfortable offices on Earth. Skippy's avatar appeared suddenly as I was getting dressed for the flight down to Earth.
The civilians were all dirtside, and most of the crew had also flown down to the surface.
The surface?
No, they had flown to Earth, to our home world. It wasn't right that I thought of Earth as just another planet, because it wasn't. Even some of the children we rescued had referred to Avalon and Earth as rocks rather than planets. It was understandable that they picked up slang from the crew, but in this case, that was not a good thing. That one planet was our home. I needed to remind myself of that. Anyway, we had a relief crew coming aboard to be trained how to fly Valkyrie so our crew could go dirtside eventually. The new people came aboard only after Skippy gave UNEF a stern warning that he, Nagatha, and Bilby would not tolerate any nonsense like another attempt to seize control of our ships.
What?
I froze, a hand on a uniform top in the closet.
That is the wrong uniform, Joe.
No, it's not. There will be a ceremony when I land at Carson. I have to wear a service uniform. The standard field uni is not appropriate.
I know that, numbskull. I read the memo before you read it, he sniffed. You do need to wear a service uniform, just not that one.
Pulling my hand away, I examined the jacket. What's wrong? Is there a stain that your bots couldn't fix? That made no sense. Most often, the uniform of the day aboard our ships was whatever was most comfortable, so I had not worn a jacket and necktie more than a dozen times since we left Earth on the mission that became our Armageddon. Every time the domestic bots brought a jacket back from cleaning, I checked that Skippy had not added a kick-me sign to the back.
It's the wrong color, and it has the wrong patches.
You need to wear the uniform of Skippistan, he explained. Not yet, I don't. I have to wait until... Check your email. Humoring him while I stood there in my underwear, I picked up my Z-phone and scrolled through messages. Holy shit. On top was a message from the United States Army. Effective immediately, I was on detached service to Skippistan with all of my U.S. Army pay, benefits, and accrual of retirement benefits frozen for the duration.
How the hell did you do this so fast?
I made a very generous deal with your government. The Secretary of Defense ordered the Army to send that directive to you ASAP. Valkyrie had been in orbit less than 12 hours. I was supposed to believe that Skippy had negotiated an agreement that quickly? Bullshit.
What are the terms of the deal?
Oh, you don't need to bother with pesky details, Joe, he said a little too quickly. You are much too busy to...
Oh, I do need the details, you little shithead. What did you do?
Nothing special.
Hey, I was even extra generous when I didn't need to be.
See, that establishes goodwill for future...
What do you mean, generous?
No, wait. Just tell me the terms of the agreement.
It's simple, Joe. You are detached to serve with the armed forces of... Or, since it's just you, I suppose I should say armed force... Although, even in a mech suit, you are not really much of a...
I am detached to serve the Skippistan military. I got that part.
What did you give in return?
Like I said, I gave very generous terms. Your Department of Defense gets a first look at new technologies, and I reduced my usual licensing fee.
License? I asked, bewildered. Wait, fee? What fee?
For technology sharing, duh.
Man, sometimes I wonder about your...
I sputtered.
You are charging a fee for sharing the technology we acquired?
Of course I am. And you didn't acquire anything, remember?
Do you not understand the concept of sharing?
Yes, I do, he sniffed.
This is not simple sharing, like me giving a friend half of the peanut butter sandwich Mommy put in my lunchbox, Joe. I am providing access to very complex and potentially very dangerous technologies.
That is not your technology. All you were doing is handing over info we got from the Theranin and other advanced...
Excuse me, but that is not all I am doing. My licensing agreement includes my time and effort to explain the technology to filthy monkeys, which... is not easy.
Jeez, Louise, do you have any idea how difficult it is to explain how a...
Okay, wait, stop.
I held up a hand while I processed what he had said.
The technical info is free. The fee is for your assistance?
Yes. Or no,
depending on whatever will get me in less trouble. Hey, I am helping you monkeys. Why am I the bad guy? It's not just... Do you have any idea how much money your big technology corporations are making by exploiting the tech that I gave them? Nobody says they are wrong to make a profit. Damn, last year most of those companies handed out executive bonuses that were greater than the budget of some countries. If you were at a CEO's house, you could hear the truck go beep beep as it backed up the driveway to dump gold bars on the lawn. Ha! And you say I am somehow being exploitive? I didn't say that. Shit. Now we are bringing back Maxalt's level technology. That is going to disrupt the world's economy again. Correct, Joe. There is a conference in Mumbai next week to discuss that very issue. I have to attend, which will undoubtedly suck. Anyway, you should be happy with me. I should? Why? Because, thanks to the deal I made, which you still have not thanked me for, by the way, the Defense Department and your president are very pleased with you. They are? Yes. They assume that you arranged for me to make the deal. Why would they think that? You refused to tell me what you were planning to... Joey. He shook his head sadly. When I do something sketchy, you get the blame for it, right? Yeah, I do. Even though most of the time I have no idea what you... This time, you get the credit. See? The United States gets a first look at the new technology we brought back, and... Oops, I forgot. This deal has to be secret, or the Chinese and Indians and everyone else will be pissed. They won't hear about it from me, I assured him. Hell, I didn't need to say anything. Other countries would figure out the truth pretty quickly. No way could something like that be kept secret. Thank you. I am still surprised that the DOD didn't require me to turn over control of the Elder weapons. That was part of the discussions, the part they think I don't know about. The president's advisors think this is the best deal they can get. They believe other countries will not accept American control of the weapons, and the Pentagon certainly doesn't want rival nations to have access. As a representative of Skipistan, you can be presented as neutral. But there is a feeling that because you are still an American citizen, they can count on you. My country can count on me, Skippy. Count on me to keep everyone out of trouble. Okay, so I need to wear a Skipistan uniform? That's the dark blue? Yes, he sighed. I toned it down like you asked, though I still think you are missing a terrific opportunity to make a bold fashion statement here. Like, I didn't join the military to make fashion statements, Skippy. The first uniform he proposed looked like what the Beatles wore on the cover of the Sgt. Pepper album. Maybe I should explain what Sgt. Pepper is. Or the Beatles. Or what an album cover is. Ah, screw it. If you want to know, Google it. My grandfather had a stack of dusty old CDs in his... No, wait, I think CDs are the shiny silver things. Or maybe those are DVDs. Anyway, my grandfather had an album. A black plastic disc of... Whatever, Google it. I shot down all of his gaudy uniform ideas to get something that looked like what an actual soldier would wear. Pulling out the correct uniform jacket, I held it up. What's wrong, Joe? It is the... Give me a minute. Oh, gotcha. Putting on a uniform that wasn't U.S. Army issue was not easy. I stood there for a long time, staring at the unfamiliar color. The patches. Skippy, what is this? I pointed to the insignia on the collar. The Army had gone back to collar insignia before I signed up, so that wasn't unusual. The details of the shiny silver pins were unusual. Oh, that, he sniffed. I had to update the symbolism. Do you like it? In the U.S. Army, a colonel's insignia is an eagle clutching olive branches for peace on one side and arrows on the other. Skippy had replaced the olive branches with a rolled-up scroll of paper and the arrows with a lightning bolt. The scroll is a peace treaty? Correct. Nobody uses olive branches anymore, he sniffed. And the lightning symbolizes a directed energy weapon. If you don't like it, I... No, it's good. I never thought of this, that my insignia would change. I'm surprised you kept the eagle. Wouldn't a goat be a better symbol for Skippistan? I kept the eagle so it would be less of a change for you, Joe, he responded, hurt.
I'm sorry, buddy. You did great. That was very thoughtful. I appreciate it. Well, I guess I have to put this on, huh? I put the new uniform on the way a soldier accomplishes any unpleasant task, by doing it. Push emotions to the back of your mind and get the task done. When I was dressed, I looked at myself in the mirror. It fit perfectly. The pants of my previous uniforms had been a bit loose since I lost weight on Rikers. Okay. I took a deep breath. I'm ready. Hey, Skippy, I called him as I pulled the straps tight around me in the co-pilot seat of a Panther dropship. We were taking a Panther, with me at the controls for part of the flight, to make a dramatic entrance when we landed at the base airfield. Instead of being debriefed at Wright-Patterson near Dayton, Ohio, UNEF Command had instructed me to land at Fort Carson in Colorado. The base was home to the 4th Infantry, plus a Special Forces group. It was also near the Cheyenne Mountain Complex, and that underground facility is where the U.S. was keeping sensitive alien technology. After Wright-Patt got shot up when we had trouble on the home front, the Pentagon started a project to expand the tunnels under Cheyenne Mountain, with Fort Carson nearby as the home to the American Star training facility. I had never been there, and I know it was one of the most sought-after stateside Army assignments, so I was looking forward to seeing the place. Most of the time, I expected to be in a windowless bunker being debriefed for hour after hour, so I wasn't counting on doing a lot of sightseeing. Programming a flight plan to Fort Carson reminded me of the last time I was in Colorado after we first brought the Flying Dutchman to Earth. Since then, the U.S. government had moved back to Washington, D.C., and life on Earth had gotten back to a new sort of normal. That sounded nice. I would like my life to get back to normal, if that was still possible. Anyway, setting down dirtside in a Panther was my subtle way of reminding people on the ground that we had accomplished unimaginable things while we were away, and they should give us a break. Also, that I suck at being subtle about anything. It helped that Chang and everyone aboard the Flying Dutchman had already told UNEF Command and their home countries pretty much everything they wanted to know, so I anticipated this series of debriefs would be relatively straightforward, except for me, Sims, and possibly Smythe. It would be interesting to see how the Army would react now that I had been officially seconded to a foreign government. Crap, it would be interesting to see how I reacted. Whenever I was on a U.S. military base, especially an Army base, I felt like I was part of the team. Now, I was not playing on the opposing team, but I literally also wasn't wearing the same uniform as my brothers and sisters in arms. How did I feel about it? Kinda depressed. Yeah, I know I asked for the transfer, and it was the right thing to do. It still felt wrong.
What, Joe? Skippy said way too loudly into my ear. My helmet faceplate was closed while the dock and bay depressurized so we could talk without being overheard.
Jeez, not so loud, please.
Sorry.
His voice was barely above a whisper.
What's up?
I need you to do something for me. For my family. My mother and...
It's taken care of.
I felt a flare of annoyance. You didn't let me finish. You don't know what...
You were talking about the online harassment of your family.
He had surprised me again. Yeah. Can you filter their...
Already doing that. Also, I dealt with the culprits.
That made me freeze. Beside me in the left-handed seat... Chen saw me lift my hands off the console and cocked her head at me questioningly. I flashed a thumbs up at her.
Skippy? I lowered my voice. What do you mean, dealt with? You can't... I did not harm them, Joe. All I did was revoke their access to any technology more advanced than a bicycle.
You what? Skippy, you don't have authority to...
Joseph!
He said in a rarely used tone of voice that indicated a discussion was over.
Those cowardly little creeps, hiding behind online anonymity, said your mother and sister should be raped and killed just because they are related to you. Your worthless FBI did not do a damn thing about it, so I did. This is not open to debate. They messed with people I care about, so fuck them, he spat angrily.
If they demonstrate they can learn to be decent human beings, I will slowly restore their online access with a submind monitoring all their communications. He shushed me. This is not just about you, numbskull. Do not push me on this issue.
He was right. Not necessarily about what he did, but about not being able to push him about the subject. I really had no authority over Skippy, no way to make him do anything. He was very upset. Those assholes were lucky all he had done was turn off their toys, or however he did it. What I cared about was that my mom and sister would not need to be afraid of going online.
Okay, we can talk about this later. Please tell my mother that
did that already. She asked for more cute animal videos in her feed.
You talked to my mom?
Of course, I chat with her all the time. By the way, she agrees with me that you should eat more vegetables.
Crap. I did not like the idea of Skippy and my mother comparing notes about me.
Good. I have to fly now. Talk to you when I'm on the ground.